And now we're back with Vantage Point on 830 AM WEEU and at 830WEEU.com.
Welcome back, or welcome on in if you're just joining us. The group is called Free. You get the song, right? It's All Right Now. We're playing one-hit wonders from the 1970s. And now, folks, I'm excited to talk to you about our guest and introduce him to you. He is the author of a book called Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning and Beyond. Our special guest today is Seth Reines. Seth, welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Hey, Nick, how are you? Long time no chat.
I know. It's been a while since we've talked, but I'm really glad you're willing to come back on the show and talk to our audience. We've had some questions about, you know, being transgender. And so we have callers that want to talk to you already a bit, Seth. But before we do that, I think it'd probably be helpful if you tell us, your story. Give us a little perspective on and why you decided to transition.
You have 50 years?
I do, yes. Go ahead. No, give us a synopsis, okay?
Okay, yeah, you got it. So, you know, I was born in the 50s, and there was nothing out there for me, and I knew that I was different at the age of 8. My parents took me, I lived in Baltimore, they took me to Johns Hopkins, where I got to sit in front of Dr. John Money, who's one of the grandfathers of gender, I guess therapy. It's not even therapy because he was a psychologist.
Sure.
And there are certain things that you remember as a child. And I remember when I was 8 years old, he showed me pictures of female and male anatomy. And he basically said to me, which one do I have? And at first he asked me if I knew what they both were. Of course I did. And then he asked me which one I had, and he asked me which one I wanted.
Okay.
Okay. And when I pointed to male genitalia, at 8 years of age, and I said, mine's missing. I realized at the age of 8 that I was going to have to carve my own life.
Mm-hmm. So, but were born as a little girl.
Correct. Okay. Correct. And I knew I was going to have to carve my own life when you're talking 1960. So, I mean, transgender people have been around for hundreds of years. But today with the internet and YouTube, it seems to be more in everybody's face than it was. I'm sure a lot of your callers probably know a lot of transgender people knowingly out in front, or maybe they just don't know that they are. And I had to figure out how to live my life with absolutely no help, no help anywhere. And it's a secret and that I bore until my middle 50s. When I realized I could do it, and I did it, because there was no questioning at that point. And believe me, if I could have done it in my 20s, I would have done it in my 20s.
So from the time that you were 8 years old when you recognized this feeling within yourself until you were in your 50s, you hadn't literally done anything about it? You lived as a woman?
Well, people call me a lesbian because, okay, right. You know, I was attracted to females. And then that was even, you know, I actually came out twice, right?
Okay.
Came out once as a lesbian because that's what the world liked to label me, and I'm not really fond of labels. And then when I transitioned, you know, as transgender, and the reality is I decided in my life that I was going to give back and educate because my generation, and I'm going to be 68 next month, so my generation never had any education. There was no education to have, and I couldn't go to a library and ask a librarian or look in the Dewey Decimal System for what I thought I was. And so I lived inside my mind for many years, and I'm sure a lot of your audience can absolutely identify with that, because there's probably things in their lives that they've lived with, maybe not related to this particular subject, that they've had to bear.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother taught me to grow alligator skin as a child, because we lived in a different world. You had a fight, you figured it out. You didn't run from it. You solved your differences and you moved on. And so when I was old enough to be able to understand and go through life, I read a book by someone who's actually a friend of mine now. And man, it was like my life in writing. And for the first time in my life, I felt like, wow, I'm not mentally ill. You know, I've run businesses, I've consulted with people, I've had a lot of different careers in my life. And so being transgender is just a piece of it. Everybody has multiple facets of their life. And I decided to go back and educate people and give them the truth. And, you know, from that point on, it's up to them what they want to do with it. And because I think a lot of people are misinformed by a lot of bad information, and I walk that line all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I can only tell you from my experience, from the hundreds of thousands of people I've spoken to, from parents to kids to educators to corporations, and people are thankful that they understand it from a different perspective.
So, Seth,
was
your family supportive of you? At 8 years old,
well,
when they took you to CHOP, I think you said you went to, right?
No. I'm on the board at CHOP, but no.
Oh.
When they took me to Johns Hopkins.
Oh, Johns Hopkins. I'm sorry, Johns Hopkins.
They didn't know what to do with me. You know, my parents, at least my father said to my mother, just let her be. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal back in the 50s and
sure.
60s. And I just carved my own way. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I mean, you know, let me just step back a second and explain something. You know, people, there's a big difference between gender and between sexual orientation, and a lot of people get that mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Very simply stated, sexual orientation is who you're attracted to, okay? And gender is who you know yourself to be. And I know that that's a hard thing for people to grasp, but I can tell you that your gender of who you know yourself to be is formed between 18 months and 3 years of age. Now, that doesn't mean every 2 or 3 year old is going to come out and say, I'm a boy, I'm a girl. There are kids that do that, by the way. And then you have to wonder where they're getting it from, because they're certainly not on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not influenced by their parents. But some people come out at 8, some people come out at 15, and for other reasons, 20 and 30 and 40, because they're married and they have kids and they realize they can now live the life that they were meant to be. Interestingly enough, being young and knowing and feeling that I was a male, everything I did was male oriented. I mean, I wore a tie to the doctor's office when I was 4 years old, you know, and where do you get that at that age, especially back then? So, people thought because I was attracted to women as a woman, okay, that I was gay. And it was the only world as a square peg in a round hole I could fit in back then. But in all honesty, I was a female born, you know, to be a man, really.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't really doing much with that then. And now the world has come so far in the last 40 years with all the people who have studied it around the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, big, big organization. It's not a few people hiding behind desks somewhere. It's been around since the early 80s that they actually have standards of care, and they actually have surgeons and psychologists and psychiatrists and all kinds of doctors and endocrinologists mm-hmm. that have studied this around the world.
So, Seth, what do you feel about what's going on in the political world? Because, you know, states like Arkansas just passed something saying that kids should not have the right to make that decision, even with advice of their parents and or doctor. You know, there's a lot of this stuff. There's one in Florida called the Fairness in Women's Sports Act.
The one
in Arkansas is called Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act. I mean, it's pretty scary. Just the language itself is scary.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the language is absolutely scary. But you have to remember, you know, there have been all these reform camps. That's what I'll call them, for lack of better purpose, where, you know, people have sent their gay kids there because they were going to beat the religion out of them and stuff like that. I mean, this is not really new in a sense of all of a sudden it came out yesterday. But there is some misinformation out there, and I'm just going to correct from my perspective what is really going on, and let your audience, you know, judge for themselves.
Okay, I want to get some of these callers in because they've been waiting for a while. Do you mind doing that? Then we'll get back to the stuff that you're saying.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
So, all right,
sure.
Folks, as soon as somebody hangs up, that's the time to place a call. Our lines are full right now. Our guest is Seth Reines. He's the author of Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning and Beyond. Now, we're not going to be able to give everybody 6 minutes to talk with him, so we'll give you a few minutes, get your question out. We'll let Seth respond, and then we'll move on to the next caller. So he's going to be with us until 3 o'clock today. So let's go back to our phones, come over here, and start with Bob. Bob, you're first with Seth today.
Hi, Seth. Nice to talk with you. I had a question regarding the fact that when you were born with female DNA, someday you meet your maker, won't you be communicating to him that he didn't know what he was doing?
Not at all.
But you're depending upon your feelings.
I'll tell you how I feel. I'm Jewish. I am in a family of a Holocaust survivor. I am very attuned to God. I'm not going to sit and quote the Bible. That's not as far as I go. I feel God knows where I am, and I feel my parents are looking down on me because I didn't transition when they were alive. Not because they were alive. It just worked that way. And I'm proud of where I've come. I help a lot of people. I believe in looking back and pulling people forward, and I will not be worried at all.
Bob?
Well, I would just say that, you know, it's possible that, you know, I know that sexual dysphoria was once considered a mental problem. It was considered something that occurs in the mind rather than in the gene makeup. If you have a gene in some way that would make you have a propensity toward these feelings, isn't it possible, too, that people who have genes that give them a propensity toward alcoholism are in some way suffering too, but they try to find a different way to deal with it, in that they are going to make this their life direction to overcome that addiction. So I'm just, you know, hey, I don't want to cause you distress internally or anything.
No, not at all.
There's another way to look at these things, that's all.
There's more than another way. There's many ways, but what I will tell you is this. Okay, the mind is an interesting thing. We process 85,000 thoughts a day, but when a child perseverates on something day in, day out, and month and year after that, it doesn't necessarily mean there's a mental problem. Back in the day, they did not know how to categorize it, okay? But they do now, and they've changed it because, like I said, with more people coming to the forefront, with more people studying, a lot more people that are willing to come forward because they now know they can, they don't have to hide. Remember, if you're going back, you didn't know anything unless they talked about it on TV for 5 minutes. Now you have the encyclopedia at your fingertips, and it certainly was not in the World Book, or if it was, it was two statements. It was not in the Britannica, but now it's everywhere. And most of the information I can tell you today that's on the Internet, all the legitimate websites you'll see is all the same, which says to you, whether you believe it or not, this is where we're at right now, and this is where how far we've come. And it's not a gene, okay? I know where you're going, but it's not a gene. It's mental. And I'll give you an example. You tell me how a three-year-old, and this happens, so I know this, comes to his mother with a scissors ready to cut his penis off because he says he's a girl at 3 years of age. Now, where is he going to get that from? Are you going to tell me that child's mentally ill?
I'm not going to tell you he's mentally ill, but I will tell you there's something to say about his environment. I wanted to be a girl, too, because my mother let my hair grow long. And when I was young, she was mad because she didn't have a little girl. I'm not mad.
I understand, but did that happen? That's what I want to ask you.
Well,
did that happen?
You know, because I read a book in the library when I was finally able to read that was about a boy who dressed as a girl to escape the Nazis. And I went back
and reread that book over and over again,
and I was beginning to think in terms of, you know, boy, I wish I were a girl. And I'm glad that somebody didn't come along with false information to tell me, you know what, we've got to start you on a transition, because I would have made a terrible mistake.
Okay, so Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there, and I'm going to correct what you just said. No one, okay, and CHOP is the biggest for children in Philadelphia. No one does that. That's why I want to give you the truth. If a child presents itself by saying, Mommy, I'm a boy, or Mommy, I'm a girl, whatever, okay, and I know about it because they're in my realm, I send them to CHOP, and all they do is talk to them. That's all they do. There's no such thing as surgery on 8-year-olds or 3-year-olds or 12-year-olds. It doesn't happen. If it does happen, okay, I want to know who it is because they're not part of the community. There's somebody trying to make a quick buck.
All right. Hey,
all right?
Let's
this
go.
Does not happen.
Seth, let me go to move on. All right. Bob, thanks for the call. Great questions. All right. All right. Not because I want to cut anybody else, Seth, but we want to make sure
okay.
We get everybody in. Now, folks, if you want to touch base with Seth, he has a website, and it actually is his name. It's Seth, S-E-T-H, Raines, RAINESS.com. Seth Raines.com. So we have an open line right now if you want to give us a call. We're going right back to our phones. We'll continue the calls as we get them. And let's talk with Julie. Julie, you're on with Seth Raines.
Hello, gentlemen. I have one comment and two questions. I was very happy to see Rachel Levine progressing through her career and what have you, because I thought that would be a very good way to educate people.
You do know her, Seth? You know who she is?
Yes, I know her personally.
Okay.
Okay. Now, questions. When you, you sort of answered one of them. You said, at what age can somebody be biologically changed?
Okay, and let me just say this to you. A lot of people don't elect surgery, okay? Not everybody elects surgery. It's financially, for a lot of people, prohibitive, and it's grueling, okay? So it's usually more so, could be 17 or 18 at the earliest, and that is on a case-by-case, unique basis discussed with the family, and discussed with the child, and they follow that child for a while. A child just does not come in, and tomorrow they're doing surgery. That will never happen, okay? Never happens. And if that's the case, it's because the child has presented themselves to be a female or a male at a very early age, and doctors and psychiatrists and everybody have been watching this child for 10, 12, you know, so on years. If someone's 18, over 18, obviously they're considered an adult, okay, and they can have surgery at 18 or 19 or 20 or whatever.
Oh, good, because that was one thing that concerned me, because I know...
Well, here's the concern that I want to straighten out right now, because this is very important. And we, as a transgender community and the LGBT community, there's also intersex. Now, those of you who are older, that term was hermaphrodite back in the day. We strongly fight against surgery. When a baby's born with ambiguous genitalia, they want to immediately cut whatever and try to raise that child, more than likely as a girl. We as the community fight against that because we want the child to be able to grow up and decide when they are, you know, able and capable to go through that surgery. And that was the thing that put John Money over the edge, because he tried to do that. He tried to raise a boy as a girl, and it didn't work. And it proved that it's not about what's between your legs or not. It's in your mind. And that child eventually at 30 committed suicide because they thought they could socialize that boy as a child, as a female, and it did not work. And that's one of the driving cases of why they don't. And we fight every day, especially with intersex, to not have surgery performed.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear. Now, the other thing, you just sort of touched on my other question. This is very mentally taxing for the person. How would you suggest somebody that's thinking, am I not, and then going through... school and everything else with people probably bullying and things like this.
I know about
how
that.
How do you deal with the anguish?
Well, I'm seeing that this generation that's growing up now, you know, the kids that are growing up now, 15, you know, 12, so forth, and YouTube, because they watch other kids on YouTube and they watch and they follow their transition and what they're doing, and they're cutting their hair. Because usually when you're younger, they're encouraged, if anything, to grow their hair or cut their hair and change their clothes. That's it. It's called social transition. They don't do anything medical or surgical. if a child, it's real simple, if a child is transgender, there's three things you need to look out for. Their behavior will be persistent, it will be insistent, and it will be consistent. They will not waver. You'll have arguments, I don't want to wear the dress. You'll have arguments, I don't want to wear my clothes. And it's not just today. It's today, tomorrow, the next day, weeks, and years on end. There is a specific, very, very strong pattern that that child will follow. I know kids can waver, and then you'll be able to tell, because those kids that waver don't know what they want to do. And I agree. There's nothing should be done. Absolutely nothing. They should just be watched. They shouldn't do anything.
But how, when a child is, deal with the anguish of what you ran into socially?
It was hard. It was hard because I'm older. I'm in a different generation. You know, it was very, very hard. It was a lonely life. I mean, my parents built me to be strong and to, like I said, grow alligator skin. That was the term back then, and I use it today for kids. And I learned to stick up for myself, and I learned to have certain phrases. And this comes with the parents. You know, you have to prepare your kids. So if they say something, especially with a bully, I always tell young kids if they try to bully them. Of course, today, I don't know if kids are in school, out of school, or where they are at the moment, But the point is, I used to always say, you know, oh, you know, you call me transgender. Hey, you want to learn about it? Let's go over here. We'll talk about it. And that bully will just drop and leave because they don't expect that.
Clever.
You know, you have to prepare. You have to prepare your kids. It's like acting. You have to send them out armed, you know, with some verbal comments that'll drop people, kind of like at their right where they're standing.
Hey,
One thing I just want to add is that the parents, it's hard for parents because usually what happens is parents tell their kids everything, like they're supposed to teach their kids everything. But when your child comes to you with something that looks like an encyclopedia and slaps it on the desk and goes, I'm transgender and tomorrow I'm going to have hormones, the next day I'm going to have surgery, the parents are, what? Okay? And that's what happens because the parents are usually the last to know or the last to accept, and some may not accept.
All right. So, guys, we have to, Seth, we're going to have to take a break for the news.
Thank you very much.
Julie, thank you.
Hopefully
it's helpful for you. Okay. Thanks a lot.
So,
all right. So, Seth, you want to say something before I take the break for the news?
No, just hang in there. We got more to talk about.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about, and we have callers. Folks, we have one open line right now. If you want to give us a call, 610-374-8800, 888-401-0459. You know what we do on Vantage Point, right? We bring these topics. We bring all kinds of things to the forefront. When you think about something and you call in to talk about it, I'm going to bring a guest on to talk about it, especially if we don't have a lot of information. And that's what we're learning today. Our guest is Seth Reines. He's the author of Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning and Beyond. You can go to his website to find out more about him, which is his name, Seth, S-E-T-H, Reines, R-A-I-N-E-S-S.com. Check it all out. We're going to take a break for the news, folks. This is important stuff. So if you know somebody who would like to listen to this, give them a call during the break from Over the News and bring them into this conversation, because you just never know who you might be helping. If it's helping you, that's great. But it may be helping somebody you know and you might have had thoughts about, but they don't know where to go to talk about it. We have the expert with us on the show today. You're listening to Vantage Point. We do this every day, Monday through Friday, from 12 to 3, unless we are preempted by something. And remember, tomorrow there's a chance that I'll only have an hour show because the Phillies are scheduled to play at 1 o'clock tomorrow. If they don't play because of the rain, we'll certainly do the full show. Again, you're listening to Vantage Point. The news is coming up with Len Carman, so you're going to hang in there with us. And as soon as somebody hangs up, that's the time to place the call. I'll be back.
And now we're back with Vantage Point on 830 AM WEEU and at 830WEEU.com.
Harbor town she works, laying whiskey down. They say brandy, fetch another round. She serves them whiskey and wine. They say brandy, you're a fine girl.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We are in hour number three of Vantage Point with our special guest, Seth Reines. And folks, first I want to thank you all for being such a big part of the show because, you know, I can always count on you to give us a call, whether we have guests or just doing conversation. We're playing songs today that are one-hit wonders from the 1970s. And having you know, great conversation with our special guest. The name of the book is called Real Talk for Teens, Jumpstart Guide to Gender Transitioning and Beyond. Our guest is Seth Reines. His website is his name, SethReineses.com. You will check it out. Seth, I am back with you. And before we take a caller, we had some people over the weekend because we started this discussion with the show that I do with teenagers called Radio Voices. And a caller suggested the idea that people could be higher levels of suicide among people who are transgender or you know, a regret of having gone through the procedure or going through the change. What would you say about that?
I would change the narrative on that, and I would tell you statistically there are less people attempting their life because they've changed than those who don't get a chance to change their lives. There's been a tremendous, it's like 9% of the population, the younger kids, especially now with the internet, when they see what they can have and their parents don't let them have it, the stark reality is, and I've said this to many parents in many conferences, you can have a happy kid or a dead one. Because that's the choice that their reasoning and their age, if they can't be who they believe themselves to be. And it doesn't mean stamp your feet and give them what they want, but at least listen to them and help them. Mm-hmm. They will take their lives.
So I mentioned this,
and they've done that.
I mentioned this the other day about in Iran when Ahmadinejad was the leader of Iran. He made the statement that there were no gay people in Iran. So I was making that kind of comparison to
there's no gay people that come out.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Gay people all over the world.
Right. And I'm trying to get a handle on, do we have any idea the estimates of number of people who are transgender or who have the desire, but they're afraid to come out to go forward as you did?
I think it's better today than it could have been even a decade or a decade and a half ago, because I think people can now find support online. They can now find people. They have a voice. They can talk to people. If you're asking how many do I think are in the world, probably less than 1%, but they're all over in every country.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest things that I actually see today, and there haven't been stats with COVID because COVID's kind of like this interrupt during everything that's going on. But before that, a lot of kids will present with anxiety and depression, and we see a lot of that in trans kids. And really, most of the time, it ends up being that is a secondary issue to the primary reason, which is that they're transgender and they can't live their lives internally. There's that conflict of where they know themselves to be. So they may start cutting, or they may get depressed, or they may attempt suicide. And by and large, for as many people as I've seen in all the years I've been doing this, the parents usually say to me, once we allowed our child to be themselves, and of course, this is under doctors and everybody else. They're not just doing this willy-nilly. They realize that these kids blossom. They do better in school. They have more friends. They're not depressed. They're not anxious. Now, is that every single child? Of course not, because there's not every anything anywhere in the world. But a great majority of these children just blossom in school and their grades, and they're not holed up in their room being alone. And, of course, this is obviously pre-COVID because of our situations wherever we are in the country. And some of those environments for actually trans kids right now have not been great either, because they're home in environments, as with other children as well, where they shouldn't be the whole day long. Sometimes those are dangerous environments just in general for some of these kids in their houses.
So, Seth, you mentioned the story about, was it John Money, I think you said?
Yeah, Dr. John Money.
Dr. John Money. So people say sometimes, okay, look, it's just a fad that kids are going through because they see that it's cool to be gay now or to say that you're gay or maybe. So is that, can you make a person into something they're not? In that regard,
you can do whatever you want, but the reality is if a child is transgender or if a person is gay, you know, they will eventually come to that at their own being. They may not come to it at 13 because if their parents kick them out of the house, and this is what I tell parents, where are you going to put a 14-year-old child that you kick out of the house? I'll tell you what that child will be doing next week. STIs, STDs, drugs, everything else. That's what you want for your child? Because how are they going to support themselves? Mm-hmm. So it's wise for parents to just sort of stop, take a deep breath, try to understand their child, and especially in Philadelphia, you got CHOP, you got one of the best there. Let them, you know, talk to you. Let just get an education. Nothing is irrational to the point where I got to do that tomorrow. But if your child sees you're trying to move forward, okay, then you're going to have a much more comfortable child. And the one thing I say to parents and family is, guess what? You're going to be transitioning with them too, okay? Because as they're changing, so are you. But you know what? Life is about change.
Okay.
We're changing now this whole past year with the pandemic, the way we live. Everything has changed, and it's up to you to just take a deep breath, and nothing has to be done right away. Just research it. Mm-hmm. Educate yourself. And, you know, and you may find you change. You may not change. But you know what? It's worth it.
Well, that's
rather than go off with misinformation.
Yeah, well, that's why we have you on the show. Now, we have a full bank of calls, so let's take some more callers. Joe, you're next on the show. Thanks for waiting so long. Good afternoon. You're on with Seth.
Hello. Yes, I have just a short snippet here and then a question.
Go ahead.
Elena Smith, a high school track athlete from Connecticut, has been forced to compete against biological males who say they identify as females. In her state, two biological males have won 15 championship titles in girls' track, depriving Smith and other girls of medals, athlete opportunities, and potential scholarships. Do you feel this is fair?
Okay, first off, I don't know that story. So I'm going to tell you from my perspective what I think. I don't know the story, and I don't trust the news, sorry to say. I can tell you from New Jersey, when a child, comes into high school here in Jersey, and they're a boy and they want to be on this girls' soccer team or whichever way it goes, all right, once they choose that, they can't switch teams. They got to stay that way through high school. The other thing is all the sports associations have strict guidelines in our state. And for some kids, they may need to be on hormones. It depends on the age now, okay? If they're 8 or 10. And colleges are the same way. When you're saying a biological male, that doesn't mean anything to me, okay? And it may mean to other people, but has that person, you know, just decided one day I'm a woman and he wants to compete? That's wrong, okay? That's absolutely wrong. But if someone is a trans female, in other words, they were born a male and they're transitioning to a woman, and they're already blocking testosterone, and they're already taking estrogen, their strength is not going to be what a cis male would be. Now, granted, they're a biological male, but I've seen this in many cases where they can compete on a level that's equal. But to that specific case or another case they may crop up, I don't know that we can make a blanket statement across the board for everybody, because every state has their own way of how they want to judge and what they want to do. I agree if it's a biological male, absolutely, and they're not taking any hormones and they just say, oh, I'm a girl, let me go compete. That's wrong. That's wrong.
Joe?
So how do you say then it isn't fair, and how are schools supposed to, what is schools supposed to say to these so-called athletes that want to compete with the girls as biological males wanting to be girls?
Answer.
I mean, what?
Right, I hear you.
We have our hands are tied behind our back, because as soon as we question the activity or the having these people in, then we're called, you know, homophobic or whatever. So, you know.
Right, I got it. Transphobic, I got it. I know.
Right. So, you know, what
here's how I can answer you.
To do? Okay.
Here's how I can answer you. I'm going to take New Jersey for an example, because New Jersey, we kind of have a north and a south in Jersey, right? And the south is catching up with the north. And it's school by school basis. We've been doing this for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. There are schools that get it and they get on board. And, you know, when you have different districts that want to do different things, you've got a myriad of different rules and you have a myriad of different, what they call policies that the schools put in. And finally, I think about 2 years ago, New Jersey created a statewide policy that says this is the way it is in every school. So there was no misunderstanding. And the PTA was, what's happening here, what's happening? Everybody was informed. And some of the, you know, like you're talking about Pennsylvania, some areas may be more progressive than others. So it's hard for me to give you an answer on, you know, school A when school B is doing something else. I know it's confusing and I get that and I can appreciate it, but I think it comes down to each school and the PTA and how, you know, the parents' voice and the sports associations in the state that run, you know, the lower schools as opposed to the colleges. It really comes down, fortunately, either way you want to look at it, as very unique to each situation. And I know that doesn't answer
right.
the question the way you'd like it to be, but, you know, it's a matter of clarity, and it's a matter of how the school board and the parents and everybody, you know, sit and discuss things.
All right. Hey, Joe,
and
thanks.
Get educated.
Joe, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
All
great
right,
stuff.
Thanks.
All right. So, Seth, let me ask you. And this may sound like a weird question in a way, but once somebody is fully transitioned, okay, what remains of the original gender? In other words, the concern is that if somebody is a boy and transitioning to becoming a girl or a male to a female, and they want to play sports with females, that they have an unfair advantage over the girls because they're not, and their people will say they're still a boy or they're not truly a female. What's left after transition takes place?
Again, you want me to give you a specific answer, but it's general because
no, it's okay. Give
different.
Me your. I just want your perspective
school,
on it so people can understand what's going on.
The school or the sports association that runs the let's say colleges, okay, that run because every it's either state or county or district, however they have their sports associations. They have either instituted or have not instituted certain things. So, like for example, college. You know, like here, you have to be on hormones in college for at least 2 years.
Okay.
Okay. And doctors and everything else and so forth and so on. Now, does that make it right? I can't tell you if that makes it right or not, but those are some of the rules that the association has put forth. So when you're saying what's left, you know, I'm not sure what you want me to answer.
Well, no,
do we know
whether someone, when they transition, are they now biologically a female? Let's say if they were a male before, now they're a female or vice versa. Or are they fully what the next level, the change would be? In other words, if somebody was a girl, are they fully a male now because they've transitioned, had the surgery, hormones, the whole thing? Or is there something,
a
vestige?
Well, I mean, you don't have to. Okay. So a biological male and a biological female just by genetics are going to be what they're going to be.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's not going to change. Like, I can grow a beard, and I'm fortunately losing my hair, you know, thanks to taking testosterone. But, you know, if you do genetics on me, you're going to see, you know, that I'm not – the outside cover doesn't match the inside, right?
Okay.
And that's going to be no matter what. You don't have to have surgery unless that's what you desire,
to
be a quote – yeah, right.
Okay.
Okay? Most people who feel – okay, who feel that, you know, they're a woman inside the men and they want to transition to a female, will take a testosterone blocker and they'll take estrogen.
Right.
And you will see their bodies physically change. You know, they'll start to get hips, they'll grow breasts. I mean, this is what happens. And by the way, just so your audience understands, men and women both have estrogen and testosterone in their bodies.
Right.
Okay? It's puberty will take control of which one will escalate. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just want to clarify, because that's where this argument is about, that, you know, they don't want guys who transition to be girls to play in girls' sports. Well, if the
I understand that. And because I know your previous gentleman read me the article, but you know what? I don't know the whole story.
Yeah,
and it's hard
course.
To pass comment on something, because biological male, you know, okay, he was born a cis male. Cis male means born male, identify male. Trans male means born female, but I identify as a male.
Right.
It's different, okay?
Mm, yeah.
So, and just so you know, because a friend of mine did call into your show, a person transitions, right? They are transgender. Transgender is an adjective, okay? They're not transgendered. Okay. There's
right.
No such thing.
Right. Somebody corrected me on that yesterday.
Yes, I know.
Appreciate it.
I know.
And I appreciate
yeah, you called
that.
Me and told me. It's okay. It's cool. I'm just trying to educate your audience. Transgender is an adjective. That's it. That's all you got to remember.
All right. Sounds good. Let me take a quick break. We have more callers, folks. We have an open line, 610-374-8800, 888-401-0459. And, you know, Elon just put up that we have in the local LGBT center in Greater Reading, there's a phone number for them. If you know someone or yourself, you want to talk to them about this, it's 610-864-5800. That's 610-864-5800. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll play a tune. We'll talk with our guest when we come back from this break. Stay with us.
And now we're back with Vantage Point on 830 AM WEEU and at 830WEEU.com.
Welcome back. That's the five stair steps, ironically, for that song, right? Ooh, ooh, child, things are going to get easier. Seth, do they get easier over time?
I believe that they do. You know, it depends on what you're talking about, but I believe that they get easier over time, especially with families who are at least willing to understand and educate themselves. I've seen so many people come in to our group saying they're just not going to do it. And I said, just give me about a year. And they'd come back and they go, you were right. And because it's a change. It's a change they didn't ask for. It's a change that they realize, if I want to keep my kid and I want my kid to be happy, I've got to, you know, try to understand and go along and educate myself so that when the time comes to make decisions, we're coming from a point of education, we understand it, and we're making the best decision for the situation. They're not making a decision the next day, and I would caution people who do make decisions the next day, that's not the right thing to do at all.
Mm-hmm. So I guess acceptance is the word that keeps coming into my head.
Yeah.
Is society at a point where we're getting to be closer to full acceptance of people that are transgender?
I think it's society accepting the world in general, but I think there are a lot of transgender people out there that people don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they pass by them every day because they blend into the world. When they don't blend, yes, you know, that's that quote, man in the dress. And usually it's an older person who has already gone through puberty and is trying their best to be as, you know, as feminine as they can, and it takes a lot of guts to walk out their front door dressed as a woman, you know, from that perspective. It's not easy and it's scary. I don't care how old you are. But that's unfortunately the harshness of male puberty and life. And those people may lose their wife and may lose their kids. I mean, there's a lot at stake for a person who just can't live that way anymore, you know, whichever that situation may be, whether they're 40 or, you know, they're 20 or obviously when they're younger, it's different because they haven't lived a lot of life. But there's a lot more involved when you're older and there's families and kids and everything else involved.
All right. So let's take some more callers. Come over here and talk with Theanna. Theanna, thanks for waiting so long. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on
air. Hello, young man. Now, I'm an octogenarian.
Thank you.
I'm an octogenarian, so you'll have to be patient with me. I see myself as an ignorant old lady. when I was growing up, we had two terms. We used homosexual and lesbian. Then we dropped that. We used the euphemism for gay. Now, my question is there a difference between those terms, or is transgender another euphemism? And if you were to be romantically attracted, would you be attracted to a woman? I really don't understand.
No, okay. So what I had said earlier was who you're attracted to has nothing to do with who you know yourself to be. Like, for example, you know, and I say this to people, if you get up in the morning and you get dressed and you go outside, that's one thing. But I'll bet many people, men, or we'll use that example, get up and go, you know what, I'm going to wear a dress today. How many men have thought about wearing a dress? Probably virtually none, okay? But when people are transgender, that's all that's on their mind. They want to dress the way and show outwardly the way they feel inward. Who you're attracted to is different, okay? Your sexual attraction is, you know, if you're a woman like me, so like before I transitioned from female to male, I was attracted to women. I'm still attracted to women, right? But I'm now a man. So now you would call me straight, but maybe 20 years ago, you'd say, oh, no, you know, you're a woman. You're attracted to another woman, so you're gay, right? But that's not always the case with people. So we understand that sexual orientation is not who you know yourself to be. And I tell people, your gender is who you go to bed as. Okay, your sexual orientation is who you go to bed with, and they're different.
Mm.
They're totally different.
But that's a good. I think that's a good way to describe it. Now, since Theanna is asking about terms, we've heard terms in the past like transvestite, transsexual.
Well, they don't use transvestite anymore, and they don't use transsexual anymore, and they don't use tranny anymore. Now, if you're older, I know a lot of older trans women that love the word tranny, but in general, They don't use that. They don't use hermaphrodite anymore. They use intersex.
Okay.
They some people still use cross dressing because that's different. You know, there's a lot of men that love to dress up as women and they're perfectly content, you know, being with their wife. That's a whole other thing. That's just like, I guess, another thing that they'd like to do as an activity. I mean, that's they're expressive and doesn't mean anything. I mean, that's totally different than someone who really feels inside that they are in the wrong body. And that starts at the age, like I said earlier, between 18 months and 3 years of age. That's when you know who you are. It doesn't mean you'll express it at three. You can. Some kids do. And some kids will wake up and say something at 6 or 8 or 10. Everybody's different. We're all unique.
Mm-hmm.
So the terms do change. They're changing constantly.
But we don't use the ones anymore that I brought up because that's what people used to say.
Transsexual, transvestite, no.
They're gone. Theanna, anything else before we let you go?
No, I just didn't understand the difference.
Does it help you?
Between a homosexual and a transgender.
Okay.
Is transgender?
Well, the difference is, I'll tell you. Homosexual, you're attracted to the same sex. Transgender means that you are not comfortable with your natal born body. You're born a female and you identify internally as a man and you do manly things and everything else. That's not attraction. So that's the difference.
Okay. Hey, Theanna, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Yep, take care. All right, Seth, we're going to take another break, and we'll be back with more calls. Folks, we have two open lines, 610-374-8800, 888-401-0459. Seth, if people go to your website, SethRainis.com, what will they find there?
Well, they'll find everything that I've done, my TEDx talk, my book. I mean, if they want to contact me, there is a contact form in the back. There's videos. There's I may even have a couple recordings of our shows, Nick, up there on the website. How
about that?
That's
good. I hope you do. That's great. Anyway, all right, so let me take a break. Seth will be back with you in just a moment. Folks, give us a call. We have some open lines, 610-374-8800, 888-401-0459. We'll be right back after these messages. This one includes the AccuWeather forecast.
And now we're back with Vantage Point on 830 AM WEEU and at 830WEEU.com.
Welcome back to the show. That's the group called Ace, 1974, One Hit Wonder. How long has this been going on? Folks, you're listening to Vantage Point. We do this every day, Monday through Friday from 12 to 3. Tomorrow, I may only be here for an hour. I guess it'll depend on the weather. I'll definitely be here from 12 to 1. We'll have to see how the weather goes after that as to whether we'll be here for the next 2 hours because the Phillies are playing tomorrow at 1 p.m. Anyway, our special guest today is Seth Rainis, and we'd love to hear from you. He's enjoying the conversation with us and taking your calls. You guys are a great audience, as always, being willing to be part of the show. So let's take another caller. Let's come over here and talk with Matt. Matt, thanks for being so patient. Good afternoon. Matt, are you there? Let me try it again. Matt, are you there? Well, I guess I'll just have to call back. Anyway, so Seth, let me be back with you and ask about the term. Do people apply the term coming out to someone who is transgender or not? I'm not sure why I'm not hearing anybody right now. Hold on. I'm not sure what's going on. The phone, I'm not hearing anybody. Maybe we'll get some help here in just a moment, see what's going on, but I'm not. Maybe I've got something that I'm not connecting with, Dan. Should be there, right? Yeah, so it looks like we're having a little problem with the phone system. And so let's see. Seth, are you there? I'm not catching anything. Okay, so anyway, let's see, folks. We're checking to see what's going on. I'm assuming I'm going over the air, though, that we're talking, okay? Anyway, so we'll see if we can get this corrected and see what's going on. Maybe a button got pushed that we weren't aware of. I'm not sure. So the phones are ringing, so I'm not sure. Yeah, that's weird. All of a sudden, our phones are not working. So everybody is on the line, but we're not hearing anything. So I could check that, make sure that's cool. All right, so we're going to check on, see if we can get this fixed, and hopefully before the end of the hour today we'll be able to do that. So we're just waiting to connect. So I'm not sure what to do because I can't talk to Seth. If you can't, Seth, are you there? No. Okay, so I'm not sure what's going on.
So I believe that they can hear us, but we're having some difficulty with the phone system, so hold tight while we do some troubleshooting. But I know we do have lots of questions, and the contact form, Nick, if you want to read out again, what was the way to get in touch or more information about Seth?
For Seth, it's his website, SethRainis.com. That's SethRainiss.com. So, Elon, you believe the audience can hear us, but we're not able to hear them. That's part of the problem. So we're seeing what's going on with the phone system, and we'll have people call back. Everybody, the lines are lit. We're just not getting any of the call. I think everything is in where it's supposed to be here. No buttons were touched to change any of that stuff, so that's why I'm not sure exactly what's happening. But we'll certainly keep going with it, and we'll do the best we can do and see if it'll reconnect with everybody again. Try it again. And Seth, are you there? No, I'm not hearing anybody. Anyway, folks, hang in there. We're working on it and see if something can come up here that... I don't know. We're working to find out what's going on. So I just continuing to talk to the audience as if they are listening, and hopefully we'll get a connection with Seth. Anyway, folks, hopefully you're enjoying the show so far. Very fascinating. It's a shame this has taken place here at the end, but we'll see if we can correct it while we're still on the air. And if not, maybe I can set up another tune here to play something while we have this going. So let me play a tune, and we'll be back right after this. Hopefully by that time we will have corrected it. Seth, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, he's back. All right.
Thank you. Yeah, we brought the system down.
Yeah, I don't know. the conversation was too intense, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe.
So anyway, we'll have to wait till our screen comes up. And I think we have another caller online, though. So let's see if we can bring that caller
in. Okay.
Matt, are you there?
Hello?
Are you there, Matt?
Yes, I am. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you now. Yeah, we don't know what happened there, but you're on with Seth. Go ahead.
No problem. Yep. Going to say was Larry King would be very impressed with your interviewing skills today, and here's why I say that. Once Seth started sharing his story, I wrote down about 6 follow-up questions that I would have hoped to ask him, but Nick, during the past hour, you asked him 4 of the 6.
Oh, wow.
I'm down to 2, and that is just great. great interviewing skills.
Thank you, Matt.
Seth, the first thing that surprised me was that you are in your upper 60s, so you're not much younger than many of us in this listening audience. So my first question, sort of related to that, when we were growing up, you know, we heard and we learned the word tomboy. Now, we all know what that means, so I won't have to define it. So question number one, Seth, would tomboy have been an accurate description of your behavior or how people perceived you while growing up?
Probably, if you're looking back in the 60s, you know, because, again, there was no information, there was no education. So, yes, but today it wouldn't be, yeah.
Okay. And, Nick, something that Seth sort of verified for us, if you remember on Saturday's show, one of the panelists said the last research she found was in 2016, where it was estimated that less than 1% of people identified as transgender. And, mm-hmm. again, Seth said pretty much the same thing. And so my main question for you, Seth, was the idea about coming out as a lesbian versus coming out as transgender. Could you share with us how did you come out? I mean, you just tell people? How did you get the message out? And I guess the main question, did you notice any difference in people's reactions to your coming out in each particular case?
Okay, so let me, I'll explain my scenario and I'll explain the scenario today. Back then it was very difficult. You know, I just told my mother I'm with somebody and this is the way I was 40. But she had suspicions because, again, after going to Dr. John Money, you know, he basically said to my mother, if I date, I'm going to be very old before I date. And I think that was his polite way of not saying the truth, because remember, this is 60s. And then by the time I transitioned, everybody in my family, it was like, yeah, no big deal. You know, because, I mean, really, you know, what are they going to say to me in my 50s? You can't do it. And second off, I lived that life anyway. And I was married with someone for 20 years. So I lived that life anyway. Today, a lot of kids will test the waters and they'll tell their parents they're gay because that's a little bit more acceptable than transgender. And I see this all the time. And the parents say, okay, we don't care as long as you're happy, blah, 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 blah. And then you may a year or two may go or whatever, 6 months. And then they bring the next thing in. You know, I'm transgender or maybe I'm binary or I'm polyamorous. There's so many terms today I can't even keep track. But, you know, they test the waters because gay seems to be accepted more now, right now. And trans is like the last letter in the acronym, so to speak. And it's different because it's not sexual. It's a gender. LGB is sexual. T is gender. They're two different concepts.
Great. Seth, I learned so much today. And Nick, thank you very much.
All right, Matt, thank you so much. So today, Seth, you hear people say LGBT and then they add the word Q there. Right.
Right.
So
right.
If a child is questioning, what's the first step? What should they be doing?
Well, it depends on first off, it depends on the age, depends on what they're questioning. If they're younger kids, I always send them to, Dr. Hawkins is going to love me. I always send them to CHOP because they deal with kids 3 to 21.
Okay.
You know, even in New Jersey, we're getting there, but we don't have, you know, younger kids. And that doesn't mean they're going to do anything. It's just nice to talk to someone who can explain things to the parents and you're kind of on their radar and you just take a watch and see attitude. That's what you do. It's not run to the surgeon and run to the, you know, the doctor for script. No, that doesn't work.
Yeah. So Seth, should parents who have children who decide want to talk to them about this, should they be panicking like the, oh my God, no, my kid is weird. I mean, how does a parent deal with this?
Well, that's funny that you say that because I think I have that article on my blog on my website, like, oh my God, my child is transgender, right? You know, what do I do? And it's also on the back of my book for parents. Depending on the age of your child, you know, you can have a 6-year-old that walks around and says, Mommy, my name is not Mary, it's Mark, and that's what you need to call me. And there are kids that young that do that, and they're they stamp their feet and they are very adamant about it. And it depends on the age of your child. And family dynamics, you know, I wish I could say this is the way to do it for everybody. But what I will say is the one thing, as hard as it is not to react and not to have, you know, a tantrum or faces, because above everything else, that's the one thing your child will remember for the rest of their life. And it's not easy. It's not easy as a parent. Mother may be okay. The father's not okay. There's a lot of dynamics that are going to go around, you know. And if they're very religious, that's going to play. That's the intersectionality of all of it, and so be it. But, you know, it's funny. A lot of people think the grandparents are going to be very upset, but I can't tell you how many times the grandparents say, I don't care, because they get to a certain point in their age. I don't care. I love my child. I just want my child to be happy. I don't care. And
That's really good. I think that gives people a lot of comfort, what you just said. We'll take another caller here. And, Paul, I just have a minute for you if you want to ask Seth a question.
Hello.
Paul?
Yes.
Yeah, I just have one minute for you. Ask him a question.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm concerned about the pronoun, and hope you haven't already covered this over, there, them, and so forth.
Right.
Seems like we need to make a new one because we're talking about a singular person in literature but using a plural noun. So how do we handle that?
Well, thank you.
Funny, because if you go back to they and them and thou, thou was a singular back in the days of the era of Shakespeare. It's not easy because we've been taught grammar. It's certainly not easy. It takes a lot of adjustment, but it takes a lot of adjustment to now tell your child who's going from female to male he. Because most of the time we don't say Mary or Mark. Most of the time we refer to our kids as he or she, you know, after you introduce who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of adjustment. And I tell kids to be patient with that. The parents are trying. You know, it's, you know, 18 years of calling somebody something, there's going to be slip-ups. Or 20 years, there's going to be slip-ups. You just have to, you know, I tell kids, look, at you know when your parents have been vindictive or when they're really, really trying. And if they're really trying, you got to cut them some slack.
Yeah.
All right, they're changing. They're trying to do the best they can.
It's difficult. It is. This is why. So it's
absolutely.
So great.
I got my aunt that still calls me by my birth name.
Right.
She's 85. But you know what? What am I going to do?
I'm sure. Let's take one more. Let's take one more caller. Heather, I can give you literally 1 minute. You have a question for Seth?
Oh, hi. I was just listening, and I just wanted to mention the term non-binary. That was something I hadn't brought up a lot, because our child recently told us they were non-binary.
Okay.
Right.
So how did you handle it, Beth? Or Heather, I'm sorry.
So for my child, we called them her for the last 26 years. When they told me that, I said, I'm not surprised that the child that played in the mud digging for worms, wearing tutus, a dress, and mud boots, feels they land somewhere between male and female. They don't want to be categorized as one or the other.
Right.
It's adjustment for Dad and I. We do slip up and say her or she, and I've said the same thing. It's been 26 years of she.
Yeah.
We're working on it. You know, if I suddenly said, I want you to call me Mama, darling, that would take an adjustment for you.
Heather, but, I'm just physically out of time here, and I really thank you for the call. I don't mean to be cutting you off. I'm glad you brought that to the show today, okay? You take care of yourself.
All right.
All right.
You too, bye.
Thank you, Heather. All right, Seth, we just have another minute. I want to give you a minute to kind of wrap up what you felt about the show today and how much I appreciate you being on the show and being as open and frank and honest as you are with us.
All I can say to the listeners who are for or against or whatever is to open your mind. I've tried to give an hour of my time, and Nick knows I'll come back as much as he wants, to just educate you, you know, just to educate you and to give you the truth. And what you do with that truth after we get off the phone is clearly up to you. People have a right to be what they want, and we just have to learn to accept them whether we like it or not. And it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough, but it is the world, and it's not going to change.
So, Seth, if you were going – if someone – can you be used as a resource? If people go to your website, are you willing to connect with them if they go to your website
sure.
and contact you?
Sure.
And if you if somebody is questioning what's going on, they want to go someplace now, you would refer them to CHOP?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they're kids – if they're, you know – if they're up to 21, if not, they can go to, I'm trying to think in Philadelphia, give me a second, Mazzoni Center.
Okay.
If they're over 18, they're down in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Today, online, if you need support groups, just to go to PFLAG,
mm-hmm.
.org,
and just pick your state, and the people have groups all over. I mean, they certainly can come online with us at pflagjerseyshore.org, because now that we Zoom, we have people on from London. We have people all over the place.
That's great. So, Seth, you know what? I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being on the show today, and I mean that very sincerely. And if our audience says they want you back again, we'll certainly get you back on again. You've been gracious with your time and helping us understand this. So please take care of yourself. I have to say goodbye to you today, but you've been an incredible guest. So thanks for being here with us.
All right, okay? Nick. Hope we chat soon. Thank you.
Seth, we will. Take care. All right, folks.
Bye-bye.
Seth Reines, you got to go to his website. His name's Seth Reines, RAINESS.com. Hopefully you enjoyed the show today, got something from it. And I'll be on the air at least tomorrow for 1 hour, possibly for the three. We'll see. If you want to talk about this again tomorrow, certainly don't hesitate to bring it up. Stay tuned for Talk It Out. And this is Nick Lawrence, as always. I'll see you on the radio.